Few moments tonight. If you have your Bibles, you want to open it up to 2 Chronicles chapter 23. Who's praying tonight? When you come and pray, I want you to pray. I don't want you to just be, I don't want you to whisper, I want you to pray hard and strong for us, and pray for those that are homesick that are watching tonight, and for those that couldn't be here for other reasons, and we want to pray and ask the Lord to meet with us in this place. Verse 1, after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem. He took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers, another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of wars over of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. After they pray, I'd like to preach to you for a few moments on the topic, you are your own best friend.
Lord God, I pray for the service, Lord Jesus. I pray for all those.
Oh, Jesus. Sick, hallelujah. 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 Lord, help us, I pray, in this place tonight, oh God. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. God, anoint your word, I pray, in our ears tonight. God, and touch the people in this place. Lord, and those that are watching, I pray. Lord, for your glory, Jesus, hallelujah. Glory, 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 in Jesus' name. Would you do me a favor and just give the Lord a big hand clap of praise before you're seated? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Amen. One of the things that I'm hearing in the media world, which I don't engage in much, is people are tired of this. They're tired of the last 2 years, tired of what we've had to deal with, tired of the things that it has brought, the changes that it has made, and people are just simply tired. What I've learned is when you become weary in your flesh, it's very easy to become weary in your spirit. Because, truth be told, it helps to have energy. It helps to have enthusiasm. It helps when you walk into the house of God and you feel encouraged. And when you don't feel weighted down with the weight of the world. It helps just when things are going well. This thought came to me, actually, last week on Wednesday night. I got very sick and I was hardly able to sleep for much of the night. And so I got up and I jumped in the shower because I needed the nice hot water about 3 a.m. And my wife bought me this really neat notepad that hangs in your shower and it's waterproof. And as I was unable to sleep, the Lord decided to give me a couple sermons to preach during that night. And as I began to write some things down on that notepad, and then I got done, I went and sat on my massage chair, covered up with a blanket, turned the fireplace on, and just sat in there by myself and tried to fall asleep. The Lord just kept dealing with me. And God just reminded me that sometimes in order for God to speak to us, He's got to make us a little uncomfortable. And sometimes comfortability is not our best friend. And so I am certainly convinced, well, first of all, because God is the author of everything. Nothing happens without the permission of God Himself. Nothing goes on without God saying yea or nay. And you might not understand all that, and I might not either, and we don't have to. Because God's ways are higher than ours, and His thoughts are above our thoughts. And so God, in His infinite wisdom, always knows what's taking place and what's transpiring. And He may lift His hand of covering for a season to allow something just like what we have experienced over the last 2 years. But the fact is, the truth is, we are tired and we are weary. And people are tired of being tired, and people are tired of being sick, and people are tired of being afraid, and people are tired of feeling defeated, and many people are tired of losing their job, and people are tired of struggling, and people are just tired. I find something in this text, and I found in another text that you'll understand very well when we read it, and that is the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, comes against Hezekiah with this great army, and he intends to breed fear just by the very presence of this military might that he wielded that showed up at the doorstep of Hezekiah. We must understand in these last hours that we are living in that the adversary has marched to the doorsteps of the church. Let me say it again so I get your attention. He has marched to the doorsteps of the church. And although that might make some feel fearful, I'm here tonight to tell you that we should be just the opposite. It should not surprise us that he has marched to the doorsteps of the church. It shouldn't surprise us that many churches have fallen to compromise. It should not surprise us that there are those that live the life that they profess of Christianity across this world, yet their lives do not represent Christianity. Their lifestyles and their decisions do not. But because the adversary has marched to the doorstep of the church, he has caused some to be fearful, and he has caused some to compromise. He has caused some to wave the white flag. They have decided that the battle just isn't worth it. I will tell you, if on my sickest day, when I've slept the least, if somebody breaks into my house, there's going to be something that rises up inside of me that says not today and not any day. And I can assure you some way, somehow I'll muster the strength to first run and grab my 9mm or my 40 caliber. I'm sorry, I won't pray first. I'll pray as I'm loading. And actually, I'm already loaded, so that won't even be a question either. And if that offends you, I'm sorry, but when it comes to protecting my home, I'm going to be very emphatic about doing it. But something will come up inside of me, I can promise you, because I'm not about to allow a stranger to come in and violate my home or my family in the middle of the night. And if the dogs don't get to them first, I can promise you I will, and I'll pray for them as they're laying there waiting for an ambulance to come. I'm being serious too. I'm not joking. Something has to come up inside of us during the darkest moments and times of our lives. Many people I have found are doing everything they can to hold on to the Lord, and you should. But as we did already here tonight, when the load gets too heavy, we've got to learn to give it to the Lord. We've got to learn to find that secret place where He lifts the burden from us, gives us rest in body and spirit, and gives us the strength and the energy that we need to go on another day. In this such scenario, which is not much different than so many others throughout the scripture, this evil king comes against this righteous king, the king who the Bible says was fearful and faithful to the Lord. And one of the first things that he did was he cleansed the temple of all idolatry. The next thing he did, he restored temple worship, something that was all but null and void. And then they began to celebrate the Passover. And I can tell you today that Satan hates it whenever a righteous man makes the decision to restore the principles and the things of God to their home and to their household and to their church. If you're not too busy restoring the things of God, He does not have much reason to pay mind to you. But when you make the decision that I'm going to restore some things that have been lost over time, as Hezekiah did, I can promise you it's going to invite the adversary to your doorstep. I was somewhat blown away today, and there's not much in the world that really surprises me anymore. I mean, if somebody walked in here, well, I won't even try because I could draft up the weirdest story you could imagine and call it reality, and you'd probably believe it, so it don't matter. A senator, I believe it was, or a congressman from, I think, the state of Minnesota, did an interview just recently, and in his interview, he said, of course, he was speaking not against vaccinations, but he said that God is better than a man-made solution. Now, I'm thinking, simple enough, not rocket science. Any Christian in the world should say, amen, brother. But no, people came out of the woodwork calling him a kook. This interview was labeled some weird charade, if you please. And this guy has gone off the deep end. And I'm thinking to myself, you people are nuts. Not only did the man not speak against vaccinations, he simply said God is a better solution than man's. Any child of God should believe that. That doesn't mean we do not utilize man's solutions. That doesn't mean that we reject modern medicine, but it means that God is bigger than man's solutions. And the very fact that people came unglued on him and began to label him all kinds of crazy things, when I saw the headline, I thought, well, certainly this guy must have went off the deep end and made some weird far right comment. But it was nothing of the sort. It was very casual. What does that have to do with what you're saying? Because as a child of God, you can't even speak anymore without an army of adversaries showing up at your doorstep. You can't even say something that hints at the goodness and the glory and the power of God without all things of unrighteousness moving against you. You can't even profess your faith in the Lord above anything else without somebody speaking something ill against you and labeling you some freak of nature. Because the adversary hates it when our faith and our hope is still in the Lord. And I'm talking about anything. I'm not talking about one thing at this time. And this is what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah came and he decided, we're going to renovate this place and we're going to give back to God what is rightfully His. And he began to make the right moves and he began to restore the things that needed to be restored. And so it is no surprise that Sennacherib came against him and began to wave his military might, if you please. But Hezekiah decided to do something about it. First thing he said, well, he said, the very least, we can make sure they can't march up here and drink water from our wells. So he got some people together and they stopped the wells. Then the Bible says he did something, something that every child of God needs to hear tonight. Every person in this building and online need to listen to what I'm telling you, because you might have to do this tonight because you cannot be here when you want to be. And the Bible says he strengthened himself. He strengthened himself. He didn't cry out to God and ask why somebody wasn't there to encourage him in his hour of need. He didn't blame God because this army of opposition came against him. He didn't get offended at God. He didn't ask God, where are you? But the first thing he did was he made some very basic moves in his life. He said, well, we're going to do a few little things. We're not going to enable the adversary. Let me just talk about that just for a moment. If your mind or your life is under attack, at the very least, you can make sure you're not going to enable him, which means you're going to stop some of the wells that he's going to drink from. And that means you're going to go ahead and you're going to begin to restore some things in your own life as well, which being the word, which being your prayer life. At the very basic of basics, those are some of the key steps that one can do. And then the Bible says he strengthened himself. Does that look like? I can't speak for anybody else, but I can tell you, over the years, I've had to strengthen myself many times. I can tell you there were times that I found myself in the dump of life. And there are times that I didn't want to preach and I didn't want to pastor and I didn't want to go another step. And I pitied myself for a little bit, and then it's as if something would come over me. And it's as if something would nudge me and something would give me a little elbow. And you say to me, what are you doing? You can't sit here like this. This is not the answer. Nothing's going to change. You can't do that. And you can't walk away from everything. And you can't do this. And then as if something would come over me, something inside of me would rise up and say, no, I'm not going to go that route. We're going to go right back at it tomorrow. And we're going to go back at it harder than we have before. And we're going to go ahead and give God everything that we've caught. And I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to give the adversary even the littlest bit of leverage. But I am going to pick myself up and brush my feet off. And I'm going to push on. He strengthened himself. So let me tell you what that looks like. Strengthening yourself is not sitting there and moaning to yourself, oh God, I can't go through this anymore. That's not strengthening yourself. Strengthening yourself, and I'm going to do this until y'all either kill me, or God kills me, or I leave, because you can't vote me out. Don't forget, I just remind you about that again this week. And that is, they didn't go online, and they didn't say, oh, poor me. Please, somebody, I'm just so bad off today. My life is so horrible. I'm not being mean, I'm just being honest. That's not what he did, but he picked himself up and he said, all right, we've already taken a few small steps. There's some other things that we're going to do. And he decided that he would do something before God ever had to intervene, because there are things that God requires of us rather than God bailing us out of every situation. Rescuing doesn't mean necessarily bailing you out. But what did he do? He built up the wall that was broken. He said, at the very least, we're not just going to go ahead and surrender. He said, we're not going to make this easy for him. He may have anticipated on being overrun and taken prisoner, but he decided, I'm just not going to make it easy. And he began to build up any of the breaches that were in the walls. You know what that means? That means a couple things. Number one, that means before Hezekiah, when he became king, before he addressed the breaches in the wall, he addressed the spiritual condition of the people first. Because you cannot fortify yourself externally and not fortify yourself internally. You can't put paint on the walls, folks, and think that's going to fix your household. I wish somebody understood what I was trying to say to you right now. And he built up the walls that were broken. He raised it up to the towers and another wall without, which means there was a second perimeter wall around the city. He repaired Milo in the city of David, and he made darts and shields in abundance. Scripture does tell us that faith without works is dead. It tells us that several times. He also set captains of war over the people, and he gathered them together, him in the street of the gate of the city, and he spoke comfortably to them. I don't know if you're too tired to pay attention, but just give me a couple more minutes. He spoke comfortably to them. He didn't walk up to them and say, I don't know if God's going to bring us through this or not, but if we're going to die, we're going to die together. I just want you to know that I'm not going to leave you, and we're going to pray that God is. That's not what he did. He walked up to them and he said, it's going to be all right. That we're going to get through this. He said, God's going to make a way. I don't know exactly how or what God's going to do, but God's going to give us the victory. And then he said, be strong and courageous. Can I be honest with you for a minute? Am I boring you? Anybody lying? What I have noticed is Satan he's weakened the men of our world. He's weakened their mind. Some men, and I don't mean this to be cruel, but some men are more emotionally unstable than women. I'm not saying that to be cruel. Well, I can get some sharp looks from some women right now. Got some women be like, what you talking about emotionally unstable? Husband like, put away. You can't shoot the man right here. He has crippled our society by attacking the men. Because whether we want like it or not, whether the feminist movement likes it or not, whether the Republicans or the Democrats like it or not, men were called to be the backbone of our country. God called men to rise up and lead in the hour of need. It is our commission. It is our responsibility. And when he can weaken the men, when he can make men emotionally unstable, and when he can make men more, I got to be careful now. I've got some people looking at me. When they've got to turn to the women for support, we have a problem, Houston. But that's not what happened here. That's not who Hezekiah was. And I'm not suggesting that we don't get encouragement from our spouses. Some of y'all don't take it and run the wrong way. I'm telling you, as men, we must be men. And we must rise up in this hour more than ever. We've got to be the ones that encourage our families. We've got to be the ones when it looks like everything is falling apart that speaks that small word of encouragement. That tells them to be strong and courageous. Be not afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. That means they took comfort in the words of Hezekiah. Do you know why they took comfort in the words of Hezekiah? Because before he ever got to that little meeting, he strengthened himself in the Lord. before he ever decided to call the people together and give them the plan. He strengthened himself. I don't know if this matters to you. I don't know if it even makes a difference to you. I don't know if it resonates with you, but I am telling you that we are living in unprecedented times. And I am telling you that Satan is trying to wear the church out. He's trying to wear the people of God out. And it is incumbent upon us to strengthen ourselves and to be courageous in the Lord. It is incumbent upon us to shake ourselves when we find ourselves pitying ourselves and rising up and saying, no, I am a child of God. And if God be for me, who can be against me? But you must understand tonight, you are your own best friend. There are times in your life where it'll just be you and nobody else. There won't be somebody there to rub your back and tell you it's going to be okay. There won't be someone there to pick you up. And there should be if we can help it. But there are times there won't be. There are people that are at home tonight because they're sick, and they should be. And they might have felt like they needed to be in the house of God tonight. Well, I'm here to tell you, you must strengthen yourself in the Lord. I'm here to remind you that you can do it with God's help. You can pick yourself up. You've got to shake your mind loose of all the things in this world that are trying to weigh you down and wear you out. First Samuel chapter 30 came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day. The Amalekites had invaded the south, Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. There's that enemy on the doorstep. He had taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. You know why they didn't kill them? Because it is more torturous for a man to think of his wife living as somebody else's prisoner and slave and servant than it would be to know that she was gone. He wanted to torment David with that. He slew not any, neither great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Now be careful, because the next verse is what has happened to the church over the last 2 years. David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Over the last 2 years, we have sadly, some of us have contributed. We have allowed Satan to take the churches and just tear the churches apart because of beliefs and ideologies. We've allowed him to cause us to pit ourselves against one another. We've allowed him to bash this one for wearing masks and bash this one for not wearing masks. And we've allowed him to cause us to lose sight of who we are as people of God and what our commission and what our goal and what our job still is. And he's turned. Now listen, maybe we don't experience it so much here, but it's been all around the world. Churches, listen, I talked to pastors. Churches have lost an abundance of people for many, many varying reasons. Many churches have turned against each other because one wanted it this way and the other wanted it that way. When the church is under attack, it just seems to be the norm that people attack the leadership. And I understand that when you are in leadership, that goes with the territory. And that's what happened with David. They wept and they wept and they wept. And David was stressed out because the people wanted to stone him because so many had lost their families and they had been taken captive. And the soul of the people was grieved for every man, for his sons and for his daughters. Who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be grieved? Who wouldn't be dumbfounded? Who wouldn't be bewildered? I'm going to tell you today, there is nothing in the world more important to this world than the church. I thought one person would have amened that. I'll say it again, because you're all welcome to be wrong. There is nothing in the world more important to the world than the church. In the face of darkness, in the face of evil and corruption, in the face of wickedness, idolatry, all of the things that we see in our world today, the church still rises out of the rubble and stands as a beacon of hope for all of the world in some way, form, or fashion. Maybe they're not all running into the church the way they should be. But you don't know who outside of the walls of the church, you don't know who drives by every week and says to themselves, I need to go there. I need to go there. Get ready to try and drop a little mini Bible study with my chiropractor. Told me again today he's going to come sometime. And he's been saying that, and he probably will. But I want him to understand the eternal ramifications of his decisions. I want to get his eyes on eternity to make it that much more appealing to come. I want him to understand that God has something to offer him that you will not find anywhere else in the world. The Bible says, after David became greatly distressed because they wanted to kill him, there was no man to pick him up, no man to encourage him, no one to say, we've got this, David, it's okay. The scripture says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself. Men, if there's ever confusion in your home and your family looks to you for an answer, just repeat after me. I don't know, but the Lord does. I don't know how it all finishes out, but I know that God is in control. They need a gentle word of encouragement. They need the same type of words spoken that Hezekiah spoke. And I know that we're not always on our game, and sometimes we don't offer that the way we should, but that doesn't mean we can't try harder. And it is a tough day to be a man because so much rests on our shoulders. Is that okay to say, ladies? It does. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree or not, men will always feel responsible and burdened for their homes, for their families, to do what's right. They'll always feel torn between work and play with the kids. Men will never feel like we can meet the standard that we need to meet. And then when you add God into the mix, and you've got men at many walks of life, you've got some that are just beginning their journey with the Lord. You've got some who've been in it for some time, some who've been in it for much of their life. And this is not just for the men, but first to the men. You're going to have to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. And then if you're not married, you don't have a husband to do that for you, well, then you're going to have to do that for yourself. You're going to have to understand that God has put it within all of us. When Job was complaining, the Lord didn't say, oh, you poor baby. I'm so sorry. It's going to get better. The Lord said, gird up your loins like a man. Where were you when I began to put the world into place? And who are you to give me counsel? Where were you when I put the Leviathan in the waters? And where were you when I began to create the magnificent things of this earth? Meaning you're sitting there whining and you stand before the God who always was and always will be. Now listen to me for a second. I'm done. I'm going to quit boring you. But I'm going to tell you, men first. We got to whine to God. If you're going to whine to the Lord. I'm being serious. I'm going to keep saying it. And when you go whine to God, after he chastises you and tells you to pick yourself back up and keep on keeping on. Pick yourself up first. Don't give him that opportunity. Encourage yourself. It's okay. That's not too hard. That's not outside the realm of God's expectation for us. He put it in us. And for the ladies, if you're single, if you're not married, stop looking to somebody else to pick you up emotionally. You're asking me to go against my nature. No, I'm not. I'm asking you to let God be what you need until God puts someone there to fulfill the needs that you need. I'm saying in the hour that we're living in, the church is going to have to understand the concept that I'm speaking to you tonight. We're going to have to become more emphatic about picking ourselves up. We're going to have to become more diligent about picking ourselves up. We're going to have to become more consecrated to our prayer life and to fixing some things as Hezekiah did that were wrong before you start trying to fix all of the external stuff. New paint, new walls, new car, none of those things are going to bring happiness in your home. You'll find out that eventually all fades and you'll still wind up divorced. I've seen it happen 100 times because you can't fix the paint without fixing the spirit first. And Hezekiah was an example to us that if we're going to restore things, we've got to restore the things of God first. Stop complaining about what's wrong. If you're a single woman, stop complaining about what's wrong and start thanking God for what's right. If you're a divorced woman, stop complaining about how bad it was and start thanking God for what he's brought you through to this point. God didn't do it. If you've got health issues, stop complaining to God and just rejoice that you're still here. Rejoice that you can still walk. Rejoice that you still have a mind. Rejoice in advance and believe that God will bring you through it. Don't allow yourself to become a complainer. That's not what gave Hezekiah victory. That's not what gave David victory. These were men that taught themselves to encourage themselves when there was nobody else to encourage them. And I'm trying to tell you tonight, even though it's a whole lot harder than preaching, I'm going down to the river and I'm going to dip, and jumping all over the sanctuary. Because sometimes we would just rather God do it for us. We'd rather God just pick us up. But sometimes we need to understand that we've got to do it ourselves. And the end result will still be the same. You can't complain about not having help in your home. Satan will always have you focus on what you don't have rather than focusing on what you do have. And if you have nobody else but you in your house serving God, if you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you, you've got everything that you need. And I know it would help sometimes to have somebody else encourage you, but sometimes that's just not reality for some people. It just isn't a reality for some people. Lean on that Holy Ghost. Pick yourself up. Pray over your home. How many of you in this place used to pray over your home, but you haven't done it in a while? Raise your hand, would you? Get back to doing it. Get back like Hezekiah did. and start restoring some of those basic things. You'll be amazed what God will do if you'll put your best foot forward first. I feel like God sent me tonight to try and remind you, you can't always wait on somebody to bail you out. You can't always wait on a stimulus check. Sometimes you got to pick yourself up and do best with what you've got. Don't complain about what you don't have and use what you've got and give God glory for it. Pick yourself up and go into the battlefield again and get back out there and fight like you used to. Stand with me if you would. We're not living in an ideal world. This is not 1940 when all the families got up on Sunday morning and went to church together. This is, you are a minority. You go to the house of God on a regular basis. We're not living in a time where people love to give. We're living in a time where people love to spend on themselves. And they think the churches are just a bunch of crooks. Not Nike, not Xbox, not PlayStation. Just the churches. You're not living in a time where people will celebrate you if you're a stay-at-home mom. You're living in a time where they'll look at you like you're a lazy mom. You're not living in a time where people will encourage you to stay with the person that you married. You're living in a time where people will tell you, well, I'd get out of that. I wouldn't stay there. You're not living in a time where people are rejoicing for you because you go to church. Because you decide to show up for a prayer night, or because you tried to decide to show up for a fellowship. We're not living in a time where this thing is celebrated on the street corner. You're living in a time where many of you have nobody to encourage you. Some of you, even your own families, are just negative whenever you talk to them about the things of God. You wish they'd say something inspiring to you. You wish they'd be encouraging, but they're not. They're just negative. So what are you going to do? Are you going to keep sitting home and feeling sorry for yourself? Or are you going to say, God, give me the strength to pick myself up? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Don't die in your overwhelmed situation. Don't blame God. Don't give up. Don't make a foolish, rash decision. Pray! And say, God, lead me to that rock that they spoke about in the scripture. Where's it at? Let me find it. So I don't know who you are. I don't even know if you're here. But I want you to know, if you'll do this, you'll make it. God will help you. God will keep you. God will bless you. But sometimes he needs you to pick yourself up and dust yourself off. He needs you to strengthen your mind and at least put your best foot forward. Would you lift your hands and would you close your eyes just right where you are? Lord Jesus, whoever we're speaking to tonight, God, wherever these chips may fall, let them fall. Father, I pray that you'd give us an epiphany in our own mind, a revelation, God, an understanding. And I pray that when we are weary, when our hearts are overwhelmed, I pray that when we don't feel like crawling out of bed, I pray, God, that these words will come back to our minds. Encourage myself in the Lord. Encourage myself in the Lord. And I pray if you, they got to drag their feet off and throw them over the bedside and stand themselves up and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? I pray that it's that moment we'll learn to call upon the name of the Lord. He is my strong tower. The righteous run in and are safe. Oh, Jesus, help us tonight. Lord, touch our minds and touch our spirit. I pray, let this be our prayer and our war cry tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How great is our God. Do me a favor, lift both your hands to the heavens right now, and I want you to give God a shout of praise for what He means to you and for what He's done in your life. Would you bless Him? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You've been good to us, God. And I know that you're coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And I'm going to make myself ready for you. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Is all.